The scripture reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's all open up our Bibles and read together Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 8. Here the Bible says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Before we go on any further in this passage, in our discussion of it, I want us to notice that in verse 4, the Bible says that something is impossible. Please look at the word impossible and let that word sink in. Something that he talks about in this section is impossible. It's not almost impossible. It's not nearly impossible. It is impossible. Later in this chapter, he says that it is impossible for God to lie. The same word is used there. That means, literally, that God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And that means here in Hebrews 6, verse 4, that whatever he's talking about is impossible. Whatever it is serious. So what is this verse about? Who is this verse about? What did these people do and what were they doing? And what does this verse say about these people? These are people who were Christians who had fallen away from Christ so far that there was no hope of their return. Now, that's what we're going to look at here in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 8. He says, "It is impossible for these people." What people? Well, he describes them. He identifies these people. He says that they were once enlightened or illuminated. And that simply means that the power of the gospel of Christ had penetrated their souls. The Bible talks about the gospel being light that shines into people's souls. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, the Bible says the devil tries to keep that light from shining into unbelievers' hearts. But the Bible also tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 32, that these people had been illuminated. The people that he's writing to had been illuminated. They had been enlightened. And that simply means that the light of the gospel had shined into their hearts. And that means that they had accepted and obeyed the gospel. And that's going to become even clearer here. So they understood the truth. That's the first point to consider here. Their minds were enlightened. They had tasted of the heavenly gift. The gift here is probably the gift of salvation. It's the heavenly gift. It is true that Christians receive the Holy Spirit as a gift, but since he talks about the Holy Spirit next, it would appear that he's talking about something different here. And so if this is salvation, if the heavenly gift is salvation, that means that these people were definitely saved people. He says that they were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, to whom is the Holy Ghost given? The Holy Ghost is given to saved people. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In Galatians 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "And because you are sons, that is sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And in Acts 5, verse 32, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is given to all them that obey him. So these people definitely had become Christians. And he makes that even clearer when he says that they had tasted the good word of God. They had received the word of God, they had believed the word of God, and they had obeyed the word of God. In Acts 2:41, the Bible says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. That's what these people had done in the past. They had received the gospel, and they had believed and obeyed the gospel. And then he says that not only had they tasted the good word of God, but they had tasted, and that means that they had experienced, the powers of the world to come. Now, the powers of the world to come refers to the powers of the Christian age. If you go back to chapter 2, verse 5 in this book, we find that same expression, the world to come. And that doesn't refer to heaven here. It refers to the Christian age. You say, well, why are they still calling it the age to come or the world to come? Because they had done that for so long that now in the book of Hebrews, that expression is being used in this Jewish sense to refer to the Christian age. And that is especially clear from chapter 2, verse 5. So what are these powers of the Christian age? Well, that would appear to be especially the miraculous powers, the miraculous spiritual gifts that were given to people in the first century. They had tasted of these powers, they had experienced these powers by seeing these miracles performed, perhaps also receiving the benefits like healing of these miraculous gifts. And also, it's quite possible that some of these people received these miraculous spiritual gifts themselves and then later turned against Christ and fell away from the church. How is it possible for a person who is able to work miracles to turn against the Lord? All we have to do is to look at Judas Iscariot to be reminded of the fact that that can happen. Judas Iscariot was an apostle just like all the rest. But Judas Iscariot turned away from the Lord. Even though he had these miraculous powers just like the rest of the apostles did. So it should be no surprise or shock to us that there were some people in the Bible that were able not only to see miracles but to perform miracles that ended up falling away from God. Now, look at what he says again in verses 4 and 5 about these people. And ask yourself the question, is there any question at all here about whether these people were saved? The Bible says that their understanding was enlightened. They had tasted of the heavenly gift, salvation. They had partaken of the Holy Ghost. They had the Holy Spirit at one time. They had tasted the good word of God. They had experienced it. And also, they had experienced the powers of the world to come, these miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is there any question about whether these people were saved? If these people were not saved, then how could he say it any clearer? How could he describe that these people had been saved at one time if these expressions don't refer to the fact and don't express the fact that these people had been saved? So it will not work for a person to look at this passage and say, well, those people were never saved to begin with. Those people were never really converted. Those people never became Christians. They were never saved to begin with. Well, of course they were saved. That's why he describes this in the way that he does. So these were definitely people who had been saved. Now the next question is, what happened to these people? The Bible says in verse 6, if they shall fall away. And this is where we go back to verse 4. If these people fall away, it is impossible, now let's pick up in verse 6, to renew them again to repentance. There are several things that we have to explain very carefully here in this passage. In the first place, sometimes people look at the word if and say, well, he doesn't say that they fell away. He says, if they shall fall away. Well, just think about it from a common sense point of view. If this can never happen, If they can never fall away, if a Christian cannot fall from grace, why on earth would he be talking about it? Why would he be warning about something that can never happen? There wouldn't be any need to even bring it up. The word "if" here does not imply any doubt or any question about whether they can fall away. That's like the Bible using the word "if" in many other passages, like Romans 8, verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. He was talking to Christian people, and he was saying that they could fall away. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, if we walk in the light, then his blood will cleanse us from all sins. Well, that means that it's conditional. So the word "if" here does not imply any question about whether this can happen. And there's something else that's very interesting here, and that is the word that is translated "if" in the King James Version and many other translations is from the Greek word that is translated "and" in most passages in the New Testament. And so it may very well be that a better translation would be "and they shall fall away." Now, as to why those translations render this "if" instead of "and" is a different question that we don't have time to go into. But the point is that he's not issuing an idle threat here. He's not giving a warning about something that could never take place. He says it is impossible, if these people that he's described fall away, to renew them again to repentance, to get them or to bring them to the point that they repent. It is impossible to do that. Why? Well, he goes on to say, because they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. What does that mean? That means that these people crucify Jesus all over again. Not physically, not literally, but in their hearts, they crucify Jesus again. These are Jewish Christians who have turned from the Jewish religion and the unbelieving Jews that they were part of in their community. They turned away from those unbelieving Jews that regarded Jesus as a liar and as an imposter. They had turned away from that unbelief and had been converted into Christianity. So they had become Christians and acknowledged and loved Jesus and believed in him. But now they have turned so far away from him that if they had the opportunity to crucify Jesus again, they would say, "Crucify him, crucify him." So this is obvious, folks, that we're not talking about just ordinary backsliders here. We're not talking about Christians who just happen to be neglectful. We're not talking about people who are overtaken in a fault, like the Bible says that some Christians are in Galatians 6, verse 1. Now, Christians can fall away from the truth, and do, but this refers to a specific group of apostates or backsliders. And the Bible describes them as people which, if they had the opportunity, would crucify Jesus all over again. We're talking about people who used to go to church and worship God and believe in Jesus. And not only that, he says that they put him, that is Jesus, to an open shame. That is, they publicly denounce Jesus. They publicly shame and humiliate Jesus. And the result of their actions is that they have become so hardened in their heart that, as he said, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. The idea of putting him to an open shame means to expose him to public disgrace. Now, that tells you something about the mindset and hardened attitude of these people that had been converted and fell away from the Lord. So this passage shows that it is possible for children of God to fall away, and that some children of God fall away so far that they cannot come back because of the hardened condition of their heart. And in verses 7 and 8, he gives a powerful illustration to talk about what happens in the end to these very people.